Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn or finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've decided we needed to start our sermon like a good television drama show. Okay, have you ever watched a TV drama? They always open with previously on, and then they give you a recap. Because if you don't watch that, you might be a little lost about what's going on. Okay, so previously on the Gospel of Luke that we've been reading, Jesus has been saying and speaking some pretty intense things. One thing that Jesus is very clear of in the Gospel of Luke is his views on wealth. Is this ringing any bells? Hopefully when you watch that previously on, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. Sometimes I see that and I'm like, wait, I'm on the wrong episode because I don't know what they're talking about. We shouldn't be there. We should have a familiarity of Jesus' views on wealth. But let me remind you, Jesus isn't a fan of wealth. Jesus is not a fan of earthly possessions. And I wanted to be careful as I was thinking about this. It's not that Jesus doesn't like the rich. Okay, it's not that Jesus doesn't like wealthy people. But in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus does not like earthly possessions and the accumulation of earthly possessions. And I think when we're reading the Gospel of Luke, it's clear that the accumulation of earthly possessions is sort of the antithesis of what it means to follow Jesus. So it kind of sounds like Jesus doesn't like the wealthy or the rich people, but it's not really that. It's that he doesn't like accumulating wealth. And so, sure, if someone is focused on accumulating wealth, they're probably not focused on the kingdom of God and following Christ. And so there's a disconnect there. So this is what Jesus has been talking about all throughout the Gospels. And we've saw that with Mary's beautiful Magnificat. When she hears that she is pregnant, she goes on this beautiful poem about God striking down the rich and the powerful and lifting up the poor. Jesus, from the very beginning, he says, when he gets up in the temple in Nazareth and he is reading from the scroll, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." From the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus has proclaimed this good news to the poor. Just last week, we read this parable of the rich fool, this man that was so selfish with all that his farms had produced, all that the land had come forth. He was very rich and it had produced abundantly, and he decides that he needs more. He's going to tear down his barns so that he can accumulate all of this wealth in the form of the abundant produce. And God says, "You fool, this very night your life has been demanded of you." Jesus is not a fan of wealth and the accumulation of earthly wealth. And so Jesus then tells his disciples, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, the birds of the air. They don't toil or spin or do any of these things, and yet they are beautiful. Don't worry about the lilies of the field. They don't concern themselves with toiling or spinning, and yet they are more beautiful than even Solomon in all of his glory. If God cares for the birds and the flowers, how much more will God care for you? Then we get to our scripture today. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Have you spent much time thinking about what pleases God? Jesus has said some pretty incredible things. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. God will provide these things for you. And it makes God happy to do so. It pleases God to give you the kingdom. It pleases God. Part of the reason that Jesus is so focused on his disciples not being focused on accumulating wealth is because God has already given them the things that they need. You don't have to worry about climbing that corporate ladder. You don't have to worry about always toiling or spinning or sowing or reaping. You don't have to worry about these earthly concerns because God's kingdom is coming. And we know that because it pleases God. His only Son, Jesus himself, has declared it and proclaimed it. In Christ's death and resurrection, we see God's commitment to giving the kingdom. It is God's good pleasure that we should have the kingdom. And because God has already given us the kingdom, because the kingdom is ours already, we can do these things that Jesus suggests. Sell your possessions and give alms. Alms, those things that others need to survive. From your abundance, give to others. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out. This will grant an unfailing treasure in heaven where thieves can't steal and moths and time, the elements cannot destroy. Where your treasures are, your heart will be also. Don't worry about accumulating those earthly things. Just like this rich fool, those will be gone one day and no longer yours. Store those treasures up where they are safe. Those treasures that God watches over. We can do these things because the kingdom is ours. And so then this question arises, and we talked about it a lot in Sunday school. This sounds great. Sounds wonderful. I don't have to worry about my food. I don't need to work. I don't need to worry about the clothes that I'm going to wear. Just look at the nature around us, those beautiful birds and those flowers. God takes care of them, and surely God loves me more. It pleases God for me to have my kingdom. This is great. I don't need to worry. Oh, yeah, I'm hungry. Oh, yeah, I can't afford to keep the lights on, put gas in the car. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The realities of life. And if we're being honest, there are others out there that have it much worse than any of us do. People that actually don't have food to eat. People whose clothes are actually falling off their bodies. Do they not need to worry or be afraid? There is a sense of what ifs. A sense of, oh yeah, what about? Sounds a little bit like a fairy tale, doesn't it? Promises, promises, promises. Where are these promises being upheld? And then Jesus tells us this story of watchful slaves. It's another hyperbole. It's another thing that seems too good to be real. That can't possibly be done. I can't not worry. I must be afraid of some things. It's not good or right to follow Jesus' words here and simply not be afraid. It's also not possible to be this watchful as Jesus suggests. It's not possible to be watchful and ready 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not possible. We simply can't do it. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus lived. We cannot be ready constantly every second for those 2,000 years. We can't be ready every hour of every day of our lives. It's not possible. We see the blessings that will come if we are. When the master comes, he will bless the slaves, put his belt on and serve the slaves. This is an incredible promise that Jesus gives us. It goes back to Jesus flipping the world upside down. The master will serve the slaves. How beautiful. But it's not possible. We can't be ready all the time. So then I guess we try to rely on luck. Maybe I'll be lucky and actually just happen to be ready when Jesus comes back. So what do we do with these fantastical, unrealistic teachings of Jesus? So we said school is getting started. With school comes football season. I get very excited. I think perhaps in my mind, those football players can help us. I want football players to be ready for the season. Now, I don't really expect them to live and breathe the 24 hours a day game plans. I know basketball season will come around and maybe this image will stick a little bit better in the then. But we want our athletes to be ready all the time. We tell those second string players, be ready. You never know when your chance is going to come. That knee, there's ligaments in that knee. His might go out and it'll be your turn. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. We want those for our players. We want our students to be ready. Did you ever have one of those teachers that would do pop quizzes anytime and, oh, you got to be ready? It's exhausting. But Jesus wants us to be ready. Perhaps we can't be 24/7 only focused on those things. But like those ball players, we can be ready when the time comes. And how do we get ready? Like we said, following this gospel all throughout this lectionary has given us a chance to read and be more in tune with Jesus' message in this gospel. Do you remember a story of the Good Samaritan? I hope so, because I preached on it not too long ago. Nobody listens. I don't know. Man that fell into the hands of robbers, beaten, left for dead. Three people came. Who was the first one? Some priest. Some guy wearing a robe like me. Did he help him? Nope. Then some Levi, scribe, another important person, maybe like an elder, trustee, board chair in the church. First I come along and then Carl comes along. As we'll do that. Did the Levi help him? No. The Samaritan, that hated evil person, stops by next. Not only goes over and lays hands to help him, to heal him, bandages up his wounds, he takes him to the inn, pays for his care, leaves extra money with the innkeeper, says, I'll be back in a couple of days. Do what you need to make this man well, and I'll pay for the rest that this doesn't cover. And Jesus says, which of those three was a neighbor to the man that fell into the hands of robbers? Who was it? The Samaritan. I remember when I preached on it, I said they were so hated, he couldn't even say the Samaritan. He said the one that helped him. That's how we stay ready. We can't go and help every single person that needs help. I drove past a woman with a flat tire on the way to church today. Can y'all believe that? I've already used up my quota of missed Sundays. I couldn't stop and help. But I was that priest in the parable. It's not possible to help every single person. But there are opportunities when we're ready to help. and other places that Jesus is talking with his disciples. Let me make sure I find the right one. But I say to you, love your enemies. Do good for those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to anyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Jesus continues, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Again, we can't turn every single cheek after every single strike. We can't give to every single person that begs. There is a bit of hyperbole in Jesus' teachings. But we can be ready. We can be ready to forgive and love our neighbors. We can be ready to help those who need help. It's impossible to help every single person. But there has to be a spirit and a willingness to do what we can when we can. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. The Master will be back one of these days. And hopefully we're ready. And he finds us serving others, loving our enemies, forgiving those who strike us and hurt us. And when he does, he'll fasten his belt, sit down to eat with us, and serve us. May we be ready. Amen.